If you've just stumbled upon this podcast, you should know that Elise and I have done over 100 episodes covering the entire Sex and the City series, as well as the first movie. So check those out and make sure to change your settings to play in sequential order. Also, check out my new podcast with Vanya Arslanian, Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Here's the show.
So they managed to avoid the forbidden experience.
Forbidden experience coming at you.
Ladies.
No.
Good for them. Maybe tell Samantha and Charlotte about it just as a passing by story.
Yeah, just maybe think about passing that information along.
So Carrie looks at shoes and Miranda goes back for more spices because she's not sure she bought enough.
Yeah, because we know Miranda, the home chef.
Yeah, I didn't really get that.
Always needing more and more spices.
I just never buy enough spices.
So Carrie is like, wow, these shoes, may I? Like, I just hate this whole thing. And of course, she puts those spices on the counter and I'm like, what's going to happen? Because the camera pans to them to show us. And she's like, how much money? And he does something with her shoe. He's like looking at it.
So yeah, I think maybe he's just admiring
it. Right. I thought for sure what he was doing was like looking at it being like, this bitch got money. And so he's going to mark up the thing.
And I guess he doesn't.
No, it ends up being like $20.
I wrote that Carrie would be a worse barterer than I.
Yeah.
Because she's like, that's all?
Yeah.
It's only that much? It was when he should have been like, oh no, sorry, I misspoke.
Right. So then she sees Aiden.
We see a back.
Mm-hmm.
And there he is. There's Aiden. And we have a slow-mo walk together. And they embrace, which I thought was not allowed.
No, not allowed. And but I think she makes a comment that it's
not
allowed.
Yeah, she does.
Is this allowed here?
What the? Abu Dhabi? What? You, why?
And Aiden now sells rugs. Okay.
Yep.
He sells rugs to go with his furniture.
Mm-hmm. Textiles. I mean, of course, he has a lot of turquoise.
And he needs to have lunch with his business partners and asks her about the possibility of dinner the next night.
And she says that she has to check with Miranda. Who's
they might have plans.
Yeah, because I think she's probably also at this point a little bit tentative.
Yeah.
They're both married.
Well, and I wrote he is very, very, very excited to see her.
Right.
Talking like, I don't know you. Come here again. Holy moly.
More so than...
He's at, like, more so than when they first met, I feel like.
And he does have a wedding ring on.
He does have a ring on. I did look at that as well. So the girls are eating by the pool, and Charlotte is obviously concerned.
Did you tell him that you and Big got married? Yes, I did. Those were the first words out of my mouth. I said, hey, we're here in Abu Dhabi, and I married that man you hated. Is he still married? I have no idea. Was he wearing a wedding ring? I believe he was. Are you going to have dinner with him?
As Charlotte always is.
Mm-hmm.
And Samantha's showing her legs.
And Miranda's covering them up.
The Australian rugby team shows up.
Yeah.
And I guess we balance out the boob shots.
Who ordered the Aussie sausage?
But Samantha's not turned on. Nothing's happening down there.
Oh, no.
This is a disaster. I have a whole pool of testosterone from down under, and I'm not feeling anything down under.
And now Miranda has planned an inter-function.
An inter-function. I love that Miranda has all the plans. Like,
I mean,
she's having
sense.
A good time.
Yeah.
It does make sense, but it also feels like a very Charlotte thing.
It does. What I like is it's Miranda has taken all of the energy she focused on her job and is now focused on having fun, which that's nice. I think that's nice that she's like, oh, I can use this for good. Not that it wasn't good when she was working.
It's like, yeah, the interfunction. This trip has affected me in the following ways. Like, we sit down, like, Carrie, Charlotte, Samantha, your lack of fun on this trip. I'm going to just say a few things. You're going to say a few things, and then we're going
to
go.
So we're off to the desert, and there are goats.
Yes, there are goats. I like goats. You love goats.
I love goats.
They're off to, yes, and then they get off.
And now we're with camels, which they're apparently riding to lunch.
Right, and I wrote that Carrie is trying to F Godot.
Is she?
I just think she is. Like, she gives him eyes a lot. I don't know. There's just a moment when I thought she was.
You said we were going to lunch.
We are. Camels, then lunch. It'll be fun. Not to not be fun, but I'm not really dressed to get on a camel.
I've got that covered.
And then I said, oh boy, I hate this montage. Because it's them all walking up. Right? No, I'm not there yet.
Well, we're kind of there. So Charlotte is having a hard time with her heels.
Yes, that's it. Charlotte's having her hard time with the heels in the hot sand.
And then we get a Middle Eastern spin on the theme song.
Here it is. Yeah.
And they walk in
here
interesting
it is.
Clothes.
Right. Okay. Take it back. So Charlotte's having a hard time walking in the heels. They are, Miranda lets them know, you guys were going to be riding these camels to lunch. I'm not dressed to ride a camel. And then Miranda lets them know that trunk's open, all these bags, you see like Chanel, Louboutin, all this stuff, that Abdul picked them out. So they're in good hands, Abdul as in Paula. And it's like they weren't dressed to ride a camel before. So we're just going to change you into more heels and flowy garments.
Yeah. I don't know if these are more suited to riding clothes.
No, not at all.
I just wrote, this doesn't look fun. I would not enjoy this.
No.
I would be like, we could have had lunch at the hotel and that would have been fine. Like, we're going to ride, like, walk through the desert and then ride these camels to a secluded place in the desert.
I mean, it would be fun, but they're not ready for it or properly equipped.
It would also be
it.
Fun on the beach near there. At least don't plan a vacation like this for me.
Yeah, I'm like, we won't be riding camels to lunch anymore.
And then Charlotte's phone goes off. What?
Yeah, Charlotte.
The comment is made. Like, they make a funny joke about it.
That's my phone. Oh, my God. Who's her long-distance provider?
But, like, here your phone
yeah,
works?
Yeah, here it works. And, like, she's trying to take a selfie on a roller coaster. And, of course, she falls off the camel.
Yeah, and I guess this is her pooping her pants in Mexico moment.
Right. And so she's pooped her pants in Mexico. She falls off. And now she's pulling up her pants to her ears so that, like, the seams are, like, in her vagina.
Yeah.
And just so we can say that she has a camel toe.
Yeah, it's a bit much.
And then sand wedge.
Yeah.
When I told my mom what camel toe meant, she was like, oh, that makes sense. And then she used it loudly once. She was like, that woman has a camel toe. And I'm like, okay. So then they're sitting in the tent eating.
And then there's a Jeep.
And there's a Jeep that just, like, pulls up. Who's driving it? Is he driving it, like, with his, steering it with his feet? Like, I don't know what's happening, but he's halfway out of it. And there's the Danish architect, or as Samantha calls him.
I said, and here it is.
Lawrence of Mylabia.
It's so terrible.
It's awful. Do you want to give Kim Cattrall the same...
No, because that's very Kim. I mean, that's very Sam.
Yeah, I guess.
That's still at least in character. It is a terrible line. Shame on you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess we don't really find out who this guy is at this point.
No, we just know he's a Danish architect who stays at the hotel.
So we're at very, very fancy karaoke.
Yeah, this karaoke is intense.
Yeah.
There are belly dancers all around.
Yeah, apparently women are allowed to show skin here.
Right.
And Samantha has some shoulder action going on.
Mm-hmm.
She has, like, pointy shoulder pads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very Lady Gaga.
Yeah, very. And now they're all singing I Am Woman.
Yeah, four girls from America. Are singing Helen Reddy.
Yeah, which I feel like most karaoke places frown upon group numbers, but I guess here you can do whatever you want.
I don't know what is happening in this place. I think it's fine for them to sing the song. What I thought was, actually what I hated about this was a few things. Number one, I hated that they decided that this was going to be like a women's empowerment moment. Like that all of the women were going to like stand up and, you know, be like, yes, these women are the voices for us. And also I love that they flashed to this man pulling up his shirt, doing a body roll.
Yeah,
like, I am woman, hear me roar.
And I am, for sure, they cut them back to Charlotte, who points. I am certain that Kristen Davis is not pointing at that guy who just pulled his shirt up. Like, they just edited that together, but it's very random. Yeah, I said the crowd really gets into it. We have opera lady start singing, and then drunk lady who's spilling her drink on her friend.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And then Samantha adds a coda to the song.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because she sees the Danish architect and she's like, I am a woman, I got that table. And they're like...
So
Samantha makes her mating call.
Now we learn his name.
Ricard Spurt.
Which is Richard Spurt.
Which means Dick Spurt.
And I said, Samantha, think it, don't say it.
Yeah.
And he invites her for a drink, but it's girls' night.
And she declines.
Yeah, she declines. She's going to stay with the girls, but maybe they'll have a late dinner tomorrow. She's open. She's very open. And I do like this moment where Samantha harkens back to the soulmates conversation.
Yeah.
We made a deal ages ago. Men, babies, doesn't matter. We're soulmates.
There you go. I like that. And it's the next day, and the New Yorker review is in, and it's not great.
She's like, may I? And she reads it. Yeah, Carrie's New Yorker review. And it's pretty bad.
Yeah, it's pretty mean bad.
Yeah, they do like a cartoon with tape over her mouth.
Yeah, and she doesn't take it well. Mm-mm. Miranda brings up her boss not liking her voice, and we do get into a conversation about men just not liking it when women talk.
It wasn't my tone of voice that my boss didn't like, it was the fact that I had a voice. Men in the U.S. pretend they're comfortable with strong women, but really a lot of them would prefer us eating French fries behind our veils.
Yeah, so Carrie brings up the time apart thing again, and this moment is quick, but I think it's really effective, where Charlotte says, I thought you wanted that too. And Carrie just has like a sort of a quick reaction that's clearly her saying like, no, of course I don't want that
right.
too. Like, she's mortified by the fact
that
right,
it was a self-protection thing.
Yeah. And Samantha needs something to wear, and Carrie decides to go for a walk.
Mm-hmm.
So she's on the beach with Garou.
And he is, like, has an umbrella over her.
Kind of.
Yeah, and then she says...
I think he's more there just to make sure that she's okay.
Right, and she's like, excuse me, Gardeau, I want to walk alone, but still do that Carrie Bradshaw dramatic walk and look back.
So now Carrie is trying out a new smoky eye, and is she sneaking off?
I wrote, she's going to meet Aiden in a smoky eye. Good job. Yeah. And this is the smoky eye that she bought from the Schumann.
Yes.
Yeah, I was wondering too, and I was confused about this timeline, because they're like, don't forget, we have dinner at 5. Should we change dinner? I don't know.
No, they're saying, should we change it to 5 for Aiden to join us? Because we were going to be 4.
Oh, okay.
And then Miranda brings up, no, it's fine. I did the same thing. I had
it's
a moment
not 5
where I was,
p.m.
No. I had a moment where I was like, wait, what are they talking about? And I actually had to rewind it and listen to it again to realize they're talking about the number of the party.
Mm-hmm.
And then realizing that they had made it for 4 already and Samantha was ditching them tonight. So 4 is fine. All getting to the point where Carrie's saying, no, I'm going to go meet Aiden at his hotel. Mm-hmm. He's not joining us.
Right.
And once again, Charlotte is concerned.
She's like, what are you doing? You're playing with fire.
And Carrie's kind of shitty.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, now I'm playing with fire? All right, you've gone crazy. Seriously, you're crazy in Abu Dhabi. Just because you're worried about your marriage, everyone's going to cheat.
And makes Charlotte cry, and Charlotte's going to take a nap.
Yep.
And we have a really quick, nothing really happens scene where Carrie meets up with Aiden, but we cut away from it pretty quickly.
Yeah, but I do like this moment that Miranda has where she says, like, take a nice long nap and I'll buy you a drink. Like, I love this moment between the two of them.
Yeah.
I just think it's nice because
it is a nice moment.
It's like, very rarely do we see these moments of understanding. Usually it's like one girl being like, I want to take a nap, and someone else saying, no, come on, let's go.
Yeah. For me, it really is reminiscent of the moment when Charlotte finds out that she can't have children and Miranda runs into her on the street.
Mm.
And Charlotte says, I don't want to talk to you. I just want to go home. And Miranda follows her all the way home.
Right.
Remember that? Like, that's sort of what this reminded me of.
I mean,
it is a sweet moment.
And I wrote after this, the girls have matured.
Yes.
And you can see it here, except with Carrie, of course.
So we cut back to Charlotte and Miranda at their very own bar. They're mm-hmm. not going to go out. And we have a talk about motherhood.
Mm-hmm. I love this moment.
Yeah. And Charlotte continues to go back to that, like, the benefits make it worth it. Like, she can't give in to it's hard. She has to say, no, it's worth it. And Miranda just basically gives Charlotte the permission to talk
mm-hmm.
and offers to go first.
Mm-hmm.
And being a mother is not enough.
Mm-hmm.
I miss my job.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really honest moment from that character and from, I feel like, Cynthia Nixon as an actress. Like, and the conversation continues of, you know, I've enjoyed not having them around.
Take a sip.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm failing. I just feel like I'm failing all the time.
You're not failing. Being a mother is hard.
Oh my God, it is so hard. And I have full-time help. How do the women without help do it?
I have no fucking idea. To them.
To them.
And I remember seeing this in the movie theater and there was a cheer right there. I think there were probably a lot of women in the theater that were like, bitches.
Yeah.
And then I like Charlotte's reveal of when she first started to be worried about it, that her first worry was,
I don't want to lose the nanny.
So we're back with Aiden and Carrie.
Carrie is just meeting him as a friend. She's going to dress as hot as she possibly can. The most makeup we've seen her in this whole film, but it's just a friend.
They're just friends. And he's happy for them. And
Both of them.
Yeah. And he already knew, actually, because his wife has always kept an eye on her.
Mm-hmm. The one that got away.
And we find out that Kathy's amazing. And he now has 3 boys.
Homer, Wyatt, and Tate.
And they have the no kids talk.
Mm-hmm.
And how she still doesn't wear a diamond.
And he shows her the pictures of the son in his wallet, which is just interesting because now you'd be like, oh, and this is his first birthday.
Yeah,
like,
I took out your phone.
Yeah. Yeah, no diamond because she's not like other women.
And now Aiden starts to behave inappropriately. Oh, good job. You'll get Coke.
He's like, fuck.
You look good. You look hot. I'm sorry, but you do.
Yeah, so, okay. So we go for a walk and they sort of discuss the, you know, United Arab Emirates.
Yeah, he's like, and I learn a new one every time.
There are only seven.
Yeah, I'm like, idiot. Like, you don't know him by now? It's like you named your son's Homer Wyatt. I don't know.
Yeah, and then it's kind of out of nowhere.
I just wrote, no.
Yeah, and it really is him going in for it.
Yeah, for 100%.
She doesn't resist it all that well, but it definitely is him instigating, and then she's gone.
And she, the dramatic Carrie run and turn.
Yeah.
I kissed Aiden. I'm freaking out. I need to talk.
I'm coming right out. Paula? I need a towel.
Samantha now just calls the butler Paula.
Yeah. And she's like, is Samantha here? I need everyone. Of course you do, selfish. Like, no one else can enjoy their night. It's just about you and what you need in this moment, and you need to tell everyone, and you need them to comfort you.
You're being really mean right now.
I'm not, but it's just like in that moment where she's like, where is everyone? I need everyone. And like all the butlers come running in.
all the townspeople.
Yeah.
Carrie wants to call Big and tell him so it's not a secret. And Charlotte is a little drunk.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm a little drunk. And Samantha says, do me a favor, sleep on it.
Yeah. And I think Miranda's point is interesting, that she looks back on it now and wonders if the pain they went through was worth it. Almost insinuating, like, maybe if Steve had just never told me, we'd be where we are now, but we wouldn't have had that painful experience.
Right. And also, like, Carrie, are you doing this so you feel better?
100%.
Right. That's what I mean. So it's like, just wait.
And but she says she's going to tell him.
Yep. Carrie told him.
So Samantha's out with Dick.
Yeah. And like,
immediately begins to act inappropriately.
Keep up his pipe.
In
your mouth.
And suck.
Why do I have "Are you a big boy" written down?
Dick says all the things that he would do to her if they were elsewhere, and Samantha goes right for the crotch.
Yes. And he says that he actually is more aroused when he's here because of all the things he wants to do and he can't.
And it's like being a boy again.
Are you a big boy?
And the couple nearby are clearly upset.
Right. Samantha is fellating the hookah.
Yeah. That's all of her inappropriate behavior. And they get up to go for a walk, and Dick is sporting some wood.
Mm-hmm.
And off they go, and the upset couple is clearly calling over security. We don't really know to what end, but things aren't great.
Yeah. And Carrie called Big, and she told him.
Yeah, it's 2:30 in the morning.
Right.
Something happened. I don't think you should call from a foreign country at 2:30 in the morning and have your first line be "something happened."
Right. And also, like, you know, she tells him, and he is like, I have to go to work. And Carrie wants to be comforted. She doesn't care. Like, she plays it off as, I don't want to have secrets, and we don't have any secrets, and blah, blah, blah. She doesn't care about the secrets. She cares about feeling good.
And Big does the wounded man stare out the window thing I wrote.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
She, like, leans again, like, just stares out the window at the city.
Yeah. And part of me's like, sure, Big deserves it, right? But also, like, God, Carrie's... It's so Carrie. Selfish, selfish, selfish.
Samantha calls.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been arrested.
Shocker. Like, I mean, here's the thing, too. You were told from the beginning certain things, and you just don't think the rules apply to you. And once again, it's just like, come on. And I get it. Obviously, if we're going to do this movie in this place, and they've already gone as over the top as they have, like, Samantha's going to have a moment like this. Some people wait a lifetime.
For a moment like this. And Miranda goes into lawyer mode.
Mm-hmm.
So, what is the severity of the situation?
The gentleman who reported the incident is very conservative and has insisted the offending event be recorded.
Offending event? It was kissing.
I understand your feelings, but we will need your passport.
My passport?
Which is a scary thing in a foreign country to be told, we're going to need your passport.
Okay.
But it's just so they can file a report, basically.
Yeah.
And Carrie and Charlotte are outside talking. And, you know, I was going to bring this up when you were talking about her dress so hot. That she admits here that she wanted the flirting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she wanted the attention. She wanted to have those things. But in the same way in which I said that she's chasing the dragon of many years ago, of like wanting that feeling of being like out on the town and having fun. What the kiss did is remind her of what she used to be, as in she did all those things trying to get this man to love her.
Right. And be also, with her. But she does also make this comment of like, it was equal. Everything was equal. The kiss was equal. And yeah, it wasn't. Yeah. I mean, he definitely went in for it first.
So I don't know if that's her trying to like take on the responsibility. But yeah, I did think that was an interesting moment.
No, he does love me. And he wants to sit on the couch in New York City with me. And I really hope my past hasn't screwed up my future. And what's so bad about a couch anyway? Oh my God, I'm having a midwife crisis.
Did she say midwife? I wasn't sure about that, because that's weird.
Yeah, because she's not being a midwife.
I put it midlife, because that's a better line.
Yeah, I know. I think it is midwife.
And Charlotte apologizes for having an attitude about the 2 days off thing.
I've had 2 days away. I've gotten a little sleep, and I'm finally starting to feel like myself again. I think there's really something to it. Maybe. Well, let's just hope Big doesn't want 7 days off.
And then we have Mr. Mahmood is here to help.
Mm-hmm.
And Samantha's back in the room and ready for breakfast. She sort of enters like, I'm ready for breakfast. Where's my butler? Where is everybody? I'm hungry.
Yeah.
That's odd. Where are they?
And no one's there. And no then she gets there. A call from the front desk.
And yeah, they need their credit card for the rest of the charges for the rest of the week.
It's $22,000 a night.
$22,000 a night, which I guess explains why the room is so large. Yeah, Mahmood has canceled the meeting at the end of the week. They can go to jail if you don't pay for your hotel where they
Samantha
are.
Or Miranda knows that too.
Yes. So they have an hour to get out.
And they can't, they're all freaking out about not being able to do it. Like Charlotte's just carrying hangers. What did they, you can't pack in an hour to leave. If you told me that I had to move out of my apartment in 1 hour, I think I could pack. Just, you
know. I definitely could not.
Well, no, I mean, yeah, maybe not actually. But I mean, like if you told me you're, like what did they bring?
Right.
Well, we saw what they brought.
They brought a lot, but you can probably get that. Well, Samantha, I think, is sort of breaking down at this point. And then, yeah, Charlotte doesn't know how to pack that fast. Carrie has plenty of time. She stops to leave a note.
Yeah, she's like, hey, use this money. And also, like, don't just leave it there. I feel like someone's going to take it, but whatever. And then we know something was up with the spices. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it.
Yeah. So Samantha is showing her legs. And doesn't care. And the cabs arrive and are much less glamorous. And then Charlotte's suddenly worried about not having a gift. And of course, now Carrie can't find her passport. To her credit, quickly realizes where she would have left it.
Right.
And now we have a whole thing to do with bags. And I don't really get what's happening. Like, they don't want to take the bags to the market, or they feel like they're not going to have the same cabs. I guess that's what it is.
Right.
Is that they'll be changing
but
cabs.
But I didn't understand why the cab driver wouldn't let... I think it was just like a language barrier,
yeah,
maybe.
It's a very strange moment.
I think it was more so they could just have that, like...
comic.
Yeah, pulling, yeah. Tugging. So they get to the market.
And I wrote, maybe Samantha should have just gone to the airport.
Yeah, maybe everyone should have gone to the airport except for Miranda and Carrie.
Right.
None of this would have happened because they've all been there before.
Correct.
But Charlotte wants to go because she wants to buy shit.
And the man in the market has her passport. Mm-hmm. It's sort of, it's come to very quickly. You know, we get past this problem and her little thank Allah moment. Okay. And he won't take her money, so she buys everybody shoes.
And then?
Charlotte and Samantha get tricked.
Yeah.
There's the watch guy.
There it is.
Yeah, they end up in a creepy upstairs area, and Carrie tries to get them out of there, and Samantha starts stripping.
But I just feel like it's still not enough time. Like, I feel like, or not enough time, not quick enough. Like, I feel like Carrie was still up there for two, like, they just took too much time.
Yeah, yeah, they should have gotten out even faster, but the guy is very mad when they leave. And then,
I didn't understand why at first.
And I had to rewind it. Yeah, so basically they just see Samantha leaving with a bag that looks like one of the fake bags,
right.
And they assume it's a fake bag and that she's stolen it.
So they try to grab it from her.
And they have a struggle over the bag and they break it and then realize they were wrong.
You broke my Birkin.
And her bag contents are all over and men just start to shout at her and Samantha shouts back and this scene is so awful.
Yeah, it's terrible. And there's a lot that I've read about it too that's like, it just depicts everything in an awful light, you know? And it's like, if this was a real moment, right, maybe it would be different. Like, if this was like a real person that this happened to and blah blah blah, but it didn't. And it's just like all these, I don't know, it's just all these generalizations.
And it's just not even needed.
No,
once
none
again
of it.
In my 100-minute cut, they would go to Abu Dhabi, and you'd even have her, like, leave her passport, and they would come and get the passport, and he would have the passport, and she'd buy the shoes,
and they
would
go to the airport. Yeah.
None of this is needed.
Right.
It's not needed, because it's going to get us to another thing that... So they try to leave, and the men are following them, and these two women kind of, like, motion, like, come this way.
I think they want us to follow them.
And the four follow the two, and they end up in a room with women, and it's... It's just a weird exchange.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's to show, like, they're just like us. Like, I don't know what the point of it is. Like, we see that one of them has a Suzanne Summers book, and she's going through menopause, and I guess that's a comment on we're all kind of the same.
We're all the same, and the fact that, like, they...
They love New York, but they've never been there, but they love the fashion.
And they show us that they're all wearing the fashion.
They're all wearing really fancy clothes. Like, I don't know. I just don't get any of it. And once again, it was to show us
well,
that,
you're not the only one. That was, like, this whole sequence was just kind of, like, the icing... Not the icing, this was a lot of what a lot of the stuff was, where it's like, who was in the writer's room was like, keep it. All of this.
I mean, it's just Michael Patrick King, and I guess he just had a very singular vision as to what this was going to be.
Because even Sarah Jessica Parker's like, I understand why people hated this movie.
Oh, interesting. I've not read that.
Yeah, she says there's a whole article about it.
Yeah, it's just not needed. I don't know what it gets anybody, and... You know, how are we going to get past those angry men? So they sneak out, and Charlotte quickly gets lost or something. Like, she decides to go, but I don't know. It's a lot. We have our second reference to, like, if we miss this flight, we'll have to fly coach.
Right.
Like, the second time we've heard it. And, like, a second later when Charlotte's shopping for the kids and they can't get a cab, we get a third flying coach moment. Like, we get it. You don't want to fly
flying
coach.
Right. It's
flying
this...
coach could, but this is the worst thing that could ever happen to a person.
And it's
right
this
now.
whole scene, and even them sneaking out in, like, the niqabs, and they're all, like, that whole sequence too is very reminiscent of the problematic. It almost just made it a joke.
Right.
It's like this idea of poking fun at, let's do this for, like, a gag. And it's just, like you said, like, what was the point of any of this, right? It doesn't...
It's just an unneeded sequence.
Yeah.
And then Carrie uses the leg move from the film to get a cab.
Which I don't think would work in this scenario. Like, I think the reason that the cab drivers are not picking up the women, is it because they're not showing leg, because they're not supposed to be... That was another thing.
Yeah, it's weird.
Know.
We have a reveal of Smith's movie poster.
Right.
The only reason for that entire sequence was to see Smith's movie poster, I feel
sure,
like.
Sure, maybe, but I honestly...
Just show that in the airport.
Yeah, and I honestly, thinking back at it now, think that, like, this whole scene... I mean, there were many problematic things that were said throughout this whole film. Like, let's... Of course... But this whole scene being one of the last things that you see before the credits roll, it's like one of the last things you remember. So, of course, a lot of these critics and people that saw this were like, what the fuck did I just watch?
It's just ratcheting up drama. I mean, the reason why it goes this far is because they're trying drama.
Drama, but it was
like,
just
I'm
like...
I'm just not a fan of drama for drama's sake.
Or drama for drama's sake, but like maybe make the drama like... less offensive.
Well, they had to get out of the hotel fast. Like, that can be the
right,
drama.
Yeah.
Like, maybe they're about to miss their flight. I don't know. Something
I'm just saying,
like that.
The movie would have done better, I think, if they
without
just
cut this sequence. Yeah. It's not needed. So, Carrie had her hair done on the way to the airport. And we have, I mean, it's fine. I just feel like this line has been in so many things.
Do you have,
like,
anything to declare?
Yes. I'm a mess.
So, your hair looks great. So, Carrie's home. Big didn't meet her at the airport. Also, the TV was stolen.
Reminds you of Strangers with Candy. I stole the TV.
And then Charlotte is home and happy to see her kids.
Mm-hmm.
We get back to Carrie wandering around her closet. And she calls Big and there's no response. And then later he comes home and she asks where he's been all day. And I like that he's been killing time and torturing her.
Yeah.
And he says that he made a vow.
I'm a grown up and I made a vow. Remember?
Ever thine, ever mine.
Ever ours. Just so you know, that really tore me up.
I'm sorry.
You know, it seems to me that you're a bit of a rookie when it comes to this whole marriage idea. And maybe in light of what happened, until you get a better understanding of what this is all about, you need a little reminder. You have to wear this every day so that you remember you're married.
And it's an engagement ring.
You cheated on me, so I bought you a present. But, you know, and she does, like, we never had vows. Well, I did, but...
I know,
yeah.
I do like that.
Yeah,
I do like that moment
because
for
I forgot, like, she did, yeah. And
you did, in fact, skip our entire wedding once,
yeah.
Kind sir.
Do you remember that? Are we enough? Kid, we're too much.
Which, that's been used before also, right?
I mean, a lot of places. Yeah, yeah, you say it to me.
But I say it to you because it's in the series. There's a moment Yeah, we've seen it in the series where, are you enough? Sometimes she's too much.
Mm, yeah.
Right now she's too much. That's from one of the episodes.
Oh, because I've...
Or the movie.
There's been many moments where I've been sad and I've been like, Mike, I just don't feel like I'm enough. And you're like, sometimes I think you're in fact too much.
It's a joke from the TV show that we talk about.
Okay, I don't remember that.
Also, that ring is huge.
But it's really nice.
It is very nice. It's beautiful. It's black,
why is
diamond.
There a reason why there's a black diamond?
Because you're not like anyone else.
I thought you were going to say it's the color of my soul. And like it always will, time moved us on. Miranda learned that at the right law firm, where her voice was valued, she was also fun at work. And that July 4th, on an East Hampton sand dune, Samantha learned that good things do come to those who wait. When she and Rickhart resumed their date. And Charlotte learned that she never really had anything to worry about. Turns out, her hot nanny preferred the company of other hot nannies.
Yeah, she finds that her nanny likes other nannies. It's a stupid line, but fine. And then Samantha has a flask.
Sure.
I don't know. Big and Carrie find they less and less need to escape, but they keep it for Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
As for me, I began to think of marriage much like the Real Housewife of Abu Dhabi's veil.
You have to decorate the tradition your way. And movies may be wonderful in black and white, but relationships have all the colors. Take it away, Cindy. And then Cindy Lauper.
Be your true color.
Yeah, she really gets in there. For the record, I have only seen this movie twice. I did see it the day it came out in the theater with our friend Annabelle, same person I saw the first film with on the day it came out. And then many years later, like probably a year or two ago, I was at Target and it was on, the DVD was on sale for $5. And I was like, okay, I'll own it for $5. So this film, as it is, was released May 27th, 2010. It had a budget of between $95 and $100 million.
Wow.
Both figures. Yeah. So they upped the budget. It opened to $31 million. It domestically only made $95 million, so it didn't make its budget back domestically. But worldwide, it made almost $300 million. Or I read between $260 million and $290 million. So it was a commercial success as far as, like, the world goes. But no, it was critically drubbed. I mean, like, people hated it.
It has a 16% rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, I think it's like a 4.5 star on IMDb.
Yeah, there was a Vanity Fair article May 21st, 2017 titled Sarah Jessica Parker Totally Gets Why Fans Hate Sex and the City 2. She said, I understand. I actually get it. I can see where we fell short on that movie, and I'm perfectly happy to say that publicly. The experience of making the movie was supreme. We were in Morocco for almost 2 months. I found Morocco to be haunting, beautiful, unforgettable, like no place I've ever been. Despite the criticism the film ultimately received, Parker wouldn't change a thing about the experience. So, but I will understand how much frickin' money it made. The film grossed about $288 million.
Yeah, so it was successful. She was paid $15 million. Just, I think, for her acting. I think she made more than that because she was also a producer. So she made her money, too. I think they all did. I think at this point they were able to, like, sort of ask for whatever they wanted. But, and once again, I don't hate it. I think there are things about it that are very good. There are things about it that are very bad. Once again, I will always argue there's a good, like, 100-minute film in there. If we just cut away some of it, I'd like there to be a... Let's do a Jensen cut. But I will say that the fact that it's not good is what makes me sad that there isn't a third one.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't want them to go out like this. I wanted them to have one more go at it and, like, try to give us a little more satisfying of an ending. But it is what it is.
Well, I mean, yeah. And it's like, there, you Google Sex and the City 2 and it's like another article. What went so horribly wrong with Sex and the City 2 on Vulture? Like, how Sex and the City 2 destroyed the entire franchise's legacy on CBC. So it's interesting. I guess I, watching it, was just thinking on multiple times, like, why? Just like you said, like, just
that would
why?
Make more sense if you saw her facial expression as she tried to even struggle to say the word why.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. You know, I'm often, when I would do sketch comedy back in the day, I was often the one in the room that I would just be like, you guys, I don't know if that's a good idea. And more often than not, after a few months, like, my friend who directed the show would be like, hey, thanks so much for you, because could you imagine if we would have done that? And I just feel like maybe every writer's room needs an Elise Castle to be like, because sometimes I know I am overly cautious and I am overly, you know, I can be like, you guys, that's not a good idea. I'm like, take a risk. But sometimes I know. I just think Sex and the City writer's room could have used me being like, you guys, I don't know if that's a good idea.
But there you go. There's Sex and the City too. And that's it.
Well,
at least we never have to speak to each other again.
Thank God. I couldn't help but wonder what the I just watch?
Now we're giving into the whole, like, do they even like each other?
Oh yeah. Rumor. Someone wrote that once.
Elise and I love each other very much. Elise just looked away. She can't handle it.
I can't handle the emotional. Do they even like each other? No.
No. That's why we've been doing a podcast for 3 years.
Oh, wow. That's a long time.
It is a long time.
Yeah.
And who knows what will come next. But yeah, so you couldn't help but wonder what the fuck just happened.
Yeah, like I couldn't help but wonder. Yeah, the heel. Like, there's a lot. Like, what happens with the food, the heels. I don't know. There's so much. I don't.
Yeah, like, my overall couldn't help but wonder would be, like, I couldn't help but wonder how no one was like, maybe not this scene.
Oh, yeah. Like, I just couldn't help but wonder, yeah, what happened.
But if it was a specific thing, I guess I couldn't help but wonder why Aiden was suddenly all down with cheating on his wife.
I couldn't help but wonder, like, what Miranda was going to use those spices for.
That's a very good... I don't think that I got enough.
Yeah.
All right. Well, who knows what's going to happen next? But, you know, stay alert. Look at the Facebook and Instagram and stuff. And if we do something else in the future, which I'm sure we will, we'll let you all know about it.
We're going to do something else in the future, and we will let you all know.
Listen to my other podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Mike and Vanya can't not.
Mike, do something nice.
All right, bye. We need to go get food.
Okay, bye.
Bye. For more information, like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram at We Couldn't Help But Wonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation. And Twitter at WCHBW Podcast. And don't forget to check out my new podcast with Vanya Arslanian, Mike and Vanya Can't Not. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. We would love it if you would share this podcast with someone, put a link on Facebook or tell a friend, take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review there. Most importantly, stay safe, and let's all take care of each other.
So yeah. You guys, Mike has a mirror behind him right now with a picture in it, like a picture from a camera of a couple of his friends, and I keep catching it in the back thinking that his friend Annabelle is like behind me, like just peeking out and looking in the mirror, and it scared me a few times.
That's really funny.
Mm-hmm.
A conversation about men just not liking it when women talk.
Mm-hmm.
Which, let's face it, is true. And like,
yeah, look at this podcast.
Shut up.
And then we find out that Erin is a lesbian.
Well, first we find out that Miranda got a job at 30 Rock.
And then we find out that Erin is a lesbian.
First we find out that Samantha finally gets to have sex on the beach.
And then we find out that Erin is a lesbian.
Yes. She starts to think of marriage. Oh, I wrote this really weird. Starts to think of marriage that the real housewife of Abu Dhabi, which I spelled crazily.
Do you spell it like Abu Dhabi?
I spelled it A-B-U-Y D-A-H-B-I.
Abai Dabu.
Abai Dabai. Anyways, I'll just put the line.